is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's the format show on Fantasy Football Today. You're in, playing in different formats. 10-team, 12-team, 14-team, auctions, PPR, half PPR, whatever. We've got strategies for every single format to help you get set for your drafts. We've also got to talk some preseason football. You know, Dave Richard, a lot of preseason games are useless. They don't tell us much. But last night's game actually maybe told us quite a bit. It was one of the more revealing preseason games.
Yep, absolutely. We saw Tevin Coleman play for the first time with the 49ers. He looked great. We saw the Broncos run game. That didn't look so great. And Emmanuel Sanders, Adam, tell me the truth. Did he really tear his Achilles? Because he's running around out there like he's 22 years old. It was unbelievable. I think what they did is they took out his Achilles. They put in a new Achilles, and then they took his old Achilles and they put it in Royce Freeman. I think that's what the Broncos did, because Emmanuel Sanders looked outstanding. I think he's going to be their number one receiver if he's going to play with that kind of speed. He lined up in the slot. He lined up out wide, and Joe Flacco could look for him deep all the time. I think he's going to be the number one receiver in Denver. I'm really stunned to say it, because usually guys that tear their Achilles, they're never the same. This is one who should pick up right where he left off last year.
So, last year, just how good was Emmanuel Sanders? On a per-game basis, he was 17th in non-PPR and 15th in PPR. I keep saying this, he had basically the same season as Julian Edelman, very similar. 71 catches, 868 yards, and 4 touchdowns, plus a rushing touchdown on 99 targets, and that was only in 12 games, which is also what Julian Edelman played. Now, I'm not sure we're going to project Emmanuel Sanders to be a top 17 wide receiver, but you know, another thing to keep in mind, his last 5 games were bad. He had only one game with more than 57 yards. That's kind of what you get from Emmanuel Sanders, but you know, lately you've been able to get him without a top 100 pick. Do you think he should be a top 100 pick at this point?
I've got him 96th in PPR, hey. Though the very last pick in round 8.
Larry Fitzgerald.
You'd love to have him in round 9, but Larry, I think Fitzgerald, if you need a wide receiver.
Or Emmanuel Sanders. Fitzgerald or Sanders?
I've got Fitzgerald ahead of Emmanuel Sanders for now.
Okay. Hey, do you think like San Francisco fans are mad at me?
Because you put the kibosh on Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time.
You gave him the bonanza treatment.
Whew. He looked even worse than his numbers. 1 of 6, no yards, and an interception.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Whew.
I can give him a pass maybe on the interception because there was a defender coming down on him. But there was another pass that should have been intercepted, and it wasn't, and you can't give him a pass on that one.
No.
He just doesn't look anything like the guy that we saw at this time last year. Really, he was a breakout candidate last year, and he looked good in the first 3 games before he tore his ACL. There's something different going on with Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's certainly going to hurt his chances of being a great fantasy quarterback anytime soon.
Should it, or can we just knock it off? Because, look, this is the first time he's played in a game since tearing his ACL. You know, there's obviously rust. I mean, you don't have to draft
him. Let's go back to what we always say about quarterbacks, Adam. It's right. So deep, why take the risk? There's clearly risk in Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. So I can name 21 other quarterbacks I'm happy to take ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo in a 2-quarterback or a super flex.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Now, it's a little bit different in a 2-quarterback league because you do have to factor in floor a little bit more. But as we always say, a 1-quarterback league, you don't really have to factor in downside because you can just get somebody on waivers or draft 2 guys. So why take a chance on Jimmy Garoppolo? He has averaged 8.5 yards per attempt in 9 games. 8 of them starts with San Francisco. That is ridiculously good. He hasn't been a big touchdown guy, and unfortunately he's been kind of a big interception guy. He has 8 interceptions to 12 touchdowns in 9 games, 8 starts. But Nick Mullins last year, Nick Mullins was 7th in passing yards per game, 5th in passing yards per attempt. We know Shanahan's track record. We've seen what he did with Matt Ryan. There are pretty good weapons on this team. So there's a great reason, I think, to take a chance on Jimmy Garoppolo. It's why I've liked him so much. I think there's immense upside based on the system, based on what we've seen. Look what he did in the 5 starts at the end of 2017. He was awesome. He was throwing gosh, I don't even know. He was throwing for like probably close to 300 yards per game. It was crazy. So I'm not eliminating him from my draft board.
Okay, but we're going to talk about league format and strategies for it. You tell me the type of league that you're drafting Jimmy Garoppolo in that isn't a two quarterback league.
Oh, any I'll draft him in any one quarterback league. I won't make him my only quarterback. He'll be one of two guys I pick, and I'll happily do it. And I hope his value drops because I will try to take advantage of that.
I can find plenty of other quarterbacks I'd rather spend that roster spot on than Garoppolo at this point. Sam Darnold. I'll take Sam Darnold out of Jimmy Garoppolo right now based on what I've seen.
Based on what you've seen, I get that, but I am trying not to be a preseason overreactor. And not saying you are, because sometimes it matters. Sometimes it really matters what we see in the preseason. Six pass attempts for a guy who hasn't played in a year, it doesn't really matter to me. And like I said, I hope it knocks his value down because I will take a chance on Jimmy Garoppolo, who, as I recall, has an awesome schedule. So that's another reason to like him. But let's talk more about this game.
At Tampa Bay in week one.
Yeah.
At Tampa Bay in week one, at Cincinnati in week two, home at Pittsburgh in week three, and then on bye in week four. Bold prediction. He will be off your fantasy team by week four.
All right, I'm going to be bullish on Jimmy G. I'm going to be bullish. Okay, so there's a lot more to talk about in this game. We have some rankings disputes a little bit later. I have an awesome announcement about the telethon and the podcast league and how they are intersecting. Jamie's going to be joining us shortly. Let's do some hey real quick, reacting from Monday night's game. Hey real quick, Philip Lindsay or Sony Michel?
Hey real quick, is Sony Michel healthy?
You have to draft him right now, one way or another.
I'm taking Sony Michel over Philip Lindsay. I'm not disappointed in Philip Lindsay. I'm disappointed that the Broncos seem to be focused on giving him no more than three snaps consecutively and then moving him out for somebody else. And then somebody else is Royce Freeman. We'll get to him. And then on third downs, it was usually Devontae Booker playing. And that could be Theo Riddick by the time we get to week four of the regular season. This is potentially a three-headed monster running back, and I don't know if I feel really good about it.
Hey, real quick, Matt Breida or Royce Freeman?
I'm taking Breida. Ask me Duke Johnson or Royce Freeman.
Well, I don't see why they should have been so far apart in ADP. You know, like they're both number two guys that are going to get work, and Breida's just probably better than Freeman.
Well, maybe, but I think that people were buying back into Royce Freeman based on what they heard at a training camp, and this goes back to the Broncos running back philosophy. They want to use multiple guys, but I don't know how much longer they can stand by Freeman if this is how he's going to play.
Matt Breida was so good last night that he's better than Royce Freeman?
I think so.
I don't want either of these guys. These are both well into the double-digit rounds.
Matt Breida didn't do anything last night, so I don't have any faith in Royce Freeman.
Yeah, I'll take Royce Freeman over Matt. Unless Tevin Coleman.
I understand having him over Coleman by having him over Breida, but aren't they similar?
Breida's got speed.
I think that Breida's going to need an injury to get more touches than Royce Freeman.
Okay.
Freeman has a much higher ceiling.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. All right, what were your big takeaways? We already talked about Garoppolo. What were your big takeaways from this game? Want to talk about the receivers in this game? We talked about Sanders. How about the 49ers? Wide receivers. Garoppolo's six passes. Two of them went to Goodwin, one to Pettis, one to Jordan Matthews, one to tight end Caden Smith, and one to Matt Breida. Anything to take away there?
I think Goodwin will end up being their best guy.
Sleeper.
Yeah, I mean, he's a steal. He's just a free space on drafts right now.
Are you also making Emmanuel Sanders your number one Denver wide receiver?
Oh, you have to. Yeah. I mean, what he showed last night was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Hey, real quick.
It's exciting. It's exciting to see him back at this level.
Can you believe it? Can you believe that a guy who tore his Achilles actually is playing like that? It's fantastic.
Hey, real quick. Kyler Murray or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Murray.
Murray, but neither if you can.
Come on, guys. Like, be nice to Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, are we not overreacting on bad preseason performances with both these guys?
I was drafting Kyler Murray way ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo before Jimmy Garoppolo played in the preseason. There's so much more upside with Kyler Murray.
So much
when it comes to taking one, there's way more. And I think that Kyler Murray is still, I think he's a value pick right now because everybody's judging him based on one quarter of a preseason game that his offensive line wasn't prepared for. This is going to be a completely different offense when we see it in week one. I think the offensive line is going to get a little bit better than what we saw. I don't think it's going to, you know, turn into the Pittsburgh Steelers or anything like that. But I think Kyler Murray is going to be just fine. I don't think there's less risk in taking him now because he's falling in drafts. I love it. I'm taking him.
It's exactly what I just said about Jimmy Garoppolo. Almost everything you said is exactly what I just said about Jimmy Garoppolo.
They're both very good number two quarterbacks to take chances on.
Yeah, I think that basically sums it up.
But you don't have to draft them as starter.
I still have Kyler in my top.
Oh, you can. You don't have to, though. And I think you're going to find that most drafts are not going to have them as starters. Our ADP so far has Tom Brady moving ahead of both of them, which I think is the right thing to do.
That's interesting. I was happy to draft Kyler round 8, round 9. And I'll admit I have moved him down to the point where I'll take him in round 10, but I'll still take him ahead of Brady for now.
So real quick, I want to let everybody know today's sponsors are FanDuel, FanDuel.com/FFT. Get a $5 bonus on your first deposit. Jimmy Garoppolo, week one. Nobody's going to want him. NFL Game Pass is our other sponsor. I did not catch the beginning of the game yesterday, so I watched it this morning on NFL Game Pass on condensed mode. I watched the first quarter in like less than 5 minutes. It was great. NFL Game Pass, go to NFL.com/fantasyfootball today. You can get a 7-day free trial. So just to put a bow on this game, when would you take Philip Lindsay at this point?
6.
Still same, round 5.
Man, it was really a frustrating way that they used them. As Dave said on Twitter, like, let them get into a rhythm. Not keep subbing them in and out.
It's the preseason.
Yeah, I know, but...
But is that a tendency that changes in the regular season? I think it changes because Royce Freeman's just going to play his way out of the rotation. And Philip Lindsay will handle first and second down, and it'll be Riddick or Booker on third. Okay. That's what I'm hoping for when I draft Philip Lindsay. But he's a great zero RB type of running back. I don't know if he's a good number two target anymore.
Let's take a quick break on fantasy football today. When we come back, we've got news and notes. Antonio Brown is back in Raiders camp, or back with the Raiders. Ezekiel Elliott's not happy. Melvin Gordon's waiting for a phone call. We'll talk about it all right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I got some important announcements to make, everybody. Hope you're sitting down. We've got a new hire, a new member of the team. Someone who's going to help us produce the show, someone who's going to help us on social media, who's going to make the show more interactive, get the listeners more involved. His name is Ben Schrager, and he's going to be running, he's going to be helping out with our Twitter accounts and Facebook and everything. So the Twitter account, @FFToday, follow that. And the Facebook group is Fantasy Football Today. We're over 6,000 members. Let's get to 10,000. Join the Facebook group. Obviously, it's free. You know, just get on there. I approve some posts. Ben's going to approve some posts. I'm going to start doing some AMAs in there. Ask me anything. So join the Facebook group, Fantasy Football Today. And I thought Will Brinson from the Pick 6 podcast was going to be on today's show. I was wrong. He's going to be on tomorrow's show. But we will have that bonus episode, the Pick 6 Takeover, with Will, one of the Pick 6 guys, I think Sean, and Jamie. That one's going to air. It's going to be in our FFT feed tonight. I'm going to publish it. So you'll have 2 episodes today. And then we'll have one tomorrow as well, but you'll get 6 episodes this week. You'll get some different perspective from the Pick 6 guys. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be on the Pick 6 podcast this week. Jamie and Dave are on there a lot, so check out Pick 6. It's one of the best football podcasts around, for sure. News and notes, guys. Antonio Brown is back with Oakland, but he has filed a grievance over his helmet. Jamie, has anything changed since you basically said you wanted nothing to do with him yesterday?
Oh, no, I want nothing to do with him.
Okay. Feet to the fire.
I'll have something to do with him, but it's got to be late round 3.
Late round 3 for
Dave. I'm not going to get him in late round 3. He won't be.
He might.
Well, then I'll take him.
Good. All right. Ezekiel Elliott did not like Jerry Jones's Zeke who comment. And
we don't know that. His agent said that. He could have been fine with it.
What? Why would his agent lie about that?
True. Why does agent lie about that? Because it's such a stupid thing. Because if you watch the show, as watch the comment as opposed to just reading it, it's entirely different.
Yeah, it was in jest.
It's really a non-story. It's just an opportunity for the agent to hype up on the negotiation.
Melvin Gordon says he's still waiting for the Chargers to call. So we're much more optimistic about Zeke than Melvin Gordon reporting.
Yep.
Okay, some more news items. Corey Clement for the Eagles. He's back. He got some first-team reps. Do you think there's anything to that?
Hopefully not. But it's just another reminder of how the Eagles like to use more than one running back. And Miles Sanders has a little bit of an uphill battle to try and earn that every down role with them. Not saying he can't do it, but it's going to be a little tough for him. He won't do it right away.
Marquise Brown practiced for the first time. Meanwhile, Miles Boykin did not practice. What would it take for you to draft Marquise Brown?
I drafted both Brown and Boykin with two of my last three picks in the Kings Classic draft that I did this past weekend. It was 14 teams. It was rounds 14 and 15. So things were really thin. I'm hoping one of them pops. It's a little bit of that friendship strategy that you talk about, Adam.
Oh.
And I think that that's okay to do with those two guys. But Harbaugh said that Brown's got a long way to go. We don't know too many details on the Boykin injury. I'm sure that'll come out soon. Obviously, these are not guys that you're targeting on draft day, unless it's just way late in a, say, 14-team PPR.
Here's a hot take for you. Willie Snead and Chris Moore will be better than Marquise Brown and Nick Boyle and Miles Boykin.
And Nick Boyle.
And Nick Boyle.
Throw him in there, too.
And if that's the case, there will be zero interesting pass catchers on the Ravens this year for fantasy.
Interesting,
Mark Ingram
yes.
Will catch some passes.
Productive, maybe not. I mean, yeah. you were Mr. Willie Snead last year, were you not?
Yeah, you know, in our 14-team podcast league, he was basically like a guaranteed 5 for 50 every week, and that was useful. That was useful.
Yep, doesn't kill you.
Yeah. All right, what else we got? Ronald Jones and Mike Evans are day-to-day. Deontay Foreman's on IR with a torn biceps. New England activated...
I don't like what Bruce Arians said about Mike Evans.
What did he say?
He said he doesn't know when he'll be back.
I don't like that either.
Just another wide receiver that we were taking in the top two rounds who has a question mark.
Julian Edelman's back. Drew Lock and Noah Fant have minor injuries. How about this one, guys? DJ Chark, ESPN's Mike DiRocco. DiRocco, I don't know. He said that Chark has DiRocco. Been the most impressive receiver for Jacksonville.
I'll tell you what, Pete Prisco's drink has been talking about him for since last season. You know, he kept telling me that he's going to be the one you want to keep an eye on. And, you know, if he can expand his route tree, it's going to be interesting to see how he connects with Nick Foles because he's a new quarterback. You know, so he comes in with no, you know, past history or favoritism, you know, to any guy. The thought should still be D.D. Westbrook because of where he lines up. But now that Marquise Lee is back and off the pup list, we'll see if, you know, it changes things for how they line up different guys. And I think, you know, if you're looking at just a late round flyer, D.J. Chark in a 14-team league, like you said, Adam, in regard to Willie Snead, not a bad guy to take a look at.
There's a lot of potential for him because he's very tall and very fast. And when you watch him line up against a 5'10 corner, you think, how in the world does he not get every single target? It's not quite Calvin Johnson versus somebody, but he's a big, long dude with deep speed. He's just got to be able to put it all together and be more aggressive going for the ball when it's in the air. And if he can do that, then yeah, he could be really something special.
All right, that's DJ Chark. So asking a follow-up on this, would you rather have Emmanuel Sanders or D.D. Westbrook?
Still D.D. for me.
It's still D.D.
It's Sanders for me. I've been on Team Sanders for a while.
You're taking Sanders over Westbrook now?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not a Westbrook guy. I feel like it's a little bit of a hopeful assumption that Westbrook is going to be so good. Like, he really doesn't have that much of a track record to fall back on. I don't know why he's assuming this on him.
I think we're banking on him getting good volume. And I think that creates kind of a good floor for him. I don't see him getting to 1,000 yards. I don't see him getting 9 touchdowns or anything like that. But I don't see Emmanuel Sanders getting there either.
If you're talking value, the value is Sanders.
Yeah.
If you're going to say pass on Westbrook to get Sanders, then I'm all in. But if you're saying who has the chance for a better season, I'll still take Westbrook.
Okay. Darius Geis is expected to play on Thursday. Be nice to see him. Derrick Henry returned to practice. And both the NFL and the Players Association are open to expanding the playoff field from 12 teams to 14 teams. I say it's perfect at 12. Leave it at 12, people.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, good. Thank you. I think you're going to be very excited for this email of the day. I think Jamie is going to put this person in the podcast league, but he can't really. So
for sure.
It's already done.
This is from Anonymous. He doesn't want his name read. He said, Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, I was listening to yesterday's show. I thought of an idea for you to consider. How about auctioning off a spot in the podcast league for St. Jude's to support the kids? I would bid, and I bet others would as well.
Done.
It's actually already in motion because of this email. Anonymous, thank you. Going to have a link for you tomorrow, most likely, but we're going to do it on eBay. And you can follow the @FFToday Twitter account for more information. And yes, I know it's a little, I don't want to make people pay to get in the podcast league, but I will certainly do it for this cause. So we'll benefit St. Jude's and the highest bidder gets in the podcast league. And I'll give you more information on Twitter, the Facebook group, and on this show. So thank you for a great idea and really excited for it.
We're doing something else as well, just in regard to not the podcast league, but for fantasy advice. So what we're going to do on the telethon is if you tweet us a picture of your donation, has to be obviously an authentic donation to St. Jude. We're going to answer every Twitter question, obviously within reason, and anyone that does not get their question answered on the show, because we're going to be on for 6 hours, so we hope to answer all of the people that send us in their questions.
Dave is going to personally call them and answer their questions. Awesome, great.
No, but I'm going to personally answer all of their questions if they don't get answered on the air. So anybody that shows us, I'll tweet out a whatever the hashtag we're going to use for this. But again, it has to be that you show us your donation. So it could be a dollar, could be, you know, hopefully more than that. But we're going to make it a point that anybody that donates and shows us that they donated, you're going to 100% have your question answered. Hopefully again by Thursday, but if not by the end of the week for sure.
Great. That's great stuff. And we're looking forward to it. Thursday, noon to 6 Eastern. CBSSports.com. You can watch on HQ. Just get the CBS Sports app on any of your connected devices. And Jamie mentioned he's going to answer a lot of tweets. That's what we're going to do right now. After we do this, we'll get into the format questions and some position preview recaps, just to sort of reset everything we've talked about over the last couple weeks. But let's do some rapid fire tweets here from Corey. Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon in non-PPR?
Mixon.
That was close.
From Audrey. LeSean McCoy, where do you have to take McCoy, and how soon will Singletary be utilized more than McCoy?
I'm waiting a long time for LeSean McCoy. I'm thinking like the round 9-10 type of range. I like the long-term appeal of Singletary more, so I'm taking Singletary ahead of LeSean McCoy, but also in that same 9-10 range.
I think the round is appropriate. You know, anything within pick 90 to 100. You know, that's about the earliest I would go with him. Singletary is probably 2 or 3 rounds later.
Do you think Singletary is their passing downs guy?
No.
I'm not sure. And I don't know if I'm ready to anoint him that.
Okay. Next question's from Brandon. And honestly, I put this in here because we got like 5 variations of the same question. How do you feel about wide receiver and running back on the same team? Like AB and Jacobs, Montgomery or Cohen and Robinson, et cetera, whatever.
Well, you and I did that in the 2 quarterback league. You took the 2 Browns guys. I took the 2 Steelers guys.
Right. With our
those
first
are good
picks.
Offenses to do that with.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if you get 2 superstars on the same team, then it's easy to get away with. You know, I don't know how many people like are targeting DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Miller. You know, I think
right.
That just
Derrick Henry and Corey Davis.
Well, that'd be the opposite of what
right,
you want
exactly.
to do. If it works out, you know, I think it could be great. You know, it's not, you're gonna have some weeks where there's some struggles, but in the case of what Adam did, and I think in the case of what I do with the Steelers, those are 2 very good tandems at those respective positions.
Mm-hmm. You got to target good offenses. From Adam, Montgomery or Cohen in PPR?
Montgomery.
Which Montgomery?
David.
Right.
Why did I answer that?
I'll still take Montgomery.
Okay. Jai Henry says, 4th pick in a non-PPR league. Talk me out of David Johnson over Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, if you're scared of Ezekiel Elliott holding out, you can't take him. I actually passed on Zeke in a draft that we did yesterday, because it was PPR, it was super flex, and you had to start three wide receivers. So I went with DeAndre Hopkins over Zeke. But in a league like the one you're talking about, I'm still taking Zeke. It just means you have to draft a couple extra running back along the way. It's not that big of a deal.
If you can guarantee me Elliott and Pollard, I will take that over David Johnson 10 out of 10.
Who's your number five running back now?
Nick Chubb, and it has been for a while.
James Conner.
Okay, yeah, so that's why you wouldn't take David Johnson, because he's not even our next best running back. From the great John Dean, do not draft list Antonio Brown, Melvin Gordon, and any Washington Redskin?
I'm not drafting Antonio Brown at the ADP that he's at, and I'll take Jordan Reed with a late pick based on how he's looked in training camp and the fact that this team's going to play from behind pretty much every single game that they're in. I'll start the season with Jordan Reed as my tight end.
There's no such thing as a do not draft list. There's a thing as avoid ADP. There's a thing as bust. When you say do not draft, it means that you're not going to take him at any point in the draft. Obviously, you're going to take Jordan Reed. You're going to take Adrian Peterson at the right spot. You're going to take Darius Geist at the right spot. You're going to take Antonio Brown at the right spot. So can't say do not draft.
Don't say it. Okay, from Ben, does Joe Mixon have the highest floor of any running back outside of the top three?
No.
No.
It's a good point. He's going to get a lot of touches. He's fairly safe. Somebody on Twitter mentioned terrible offensive line could derail Joe Mixon. Who has the highest floor? Okay, let's say the big four. Who has the highest floor outside of the big four?
Outside of the big four?
Yeah.
Four? The big four? The highest floor?
Big floor.
I'm still going to say James Conner.
Yeah, I'll take Chubb.
Okay. From Steven, can Godwin beat out Evans to be the number one wide receiver in Tampa Bay?
May happen by default now. No.
If Evans still gets as many or more targets than Godwin, I like Evans' chance to lead that team in yards and touchdowns pretty handily.
From Russ, who's your favorite player to roster this season that most other people would say, quote, who is that?
Oh, I'm feeling that way about Darren Waller. I'm feeling that way about TJ Hockenson as far as late round tight end. Is there a running back out there that people don't know about? Like, everybody knows who everybody is now. So I think that that's about as good of an answer as I can give.
I take Trey Quinn a lot. I think he's going to end up being the best Washington receiver this year.
I think Preston Williams is worth a look for the Dolphins. Okay, from Timmy.
They got to cut two guys, though, for that to happen. They got to cut Devontae Parker and get rid of Allen Hurns.
Yeah, I just, like, he's a talented guy who didn't get drafted because of off-field issues, so... He could be their best receiver. Who knows? Who would you prefer running back?
Why Preston Williams over Jacoby Myers?
No, he's another good... Because of Josh Gordon, I guess. But I would... I don't know who I would take. But yeah, they're both late-round flyers. From Timmy, Miles Sanders or Jordan Howard?
Sanders.
Sanders.
From Anthony, Devin Singletary or Darwin Thompson?
Thompson.
From Evan, who's more likely to finish top three at his position, Juju or James Conner?
Juju.
I'll say Conner non-PPR, Juju and full PPR.
From Incognito Bears, why isn't Tevin Coleman rising the way that some other running backs are, like Kerryon Carson and Freeman?
Go back and watch last night.
What do you mean?
I thought he looked great last night. I thought Tevin Coleman looked good. Well, I think Garoppolo looked terrible. I think Tevin Coleman looked good. I just
Coleman
don't know
has
if
been
he's going to get the type of work that those other running backs
he's,
is
going to He's
get.
Been a guy that was going in round six that we've been telling you that should be going in round four.
But I don't see him as a round three guy anytime soon. I don't think any of us do.
No, I don't know about that. The way Heath was talking about him yesterday, Heath had him in his top four.
Right.
But he had him in his top four in that running back group, and those guys go in rounds three and four.
His ADP right now is 60.25. So the guys that he's behind that he should be going ahead of, in my opinion, Philip Lindsay, Sony Michel, Derrick Henry, David Montgomery. Yep. And then it comes to, you can debate Mark Ingram. You could debate Chris Carson. You could debate Josh Jacobs. I mean, they're all fine. Melvin Gordon's a different category. But I think, that's kind of where the cutoff is for me is where it gets to Ingram. Like, I take him over Montgomery, and that's the end of it. And Montgomery's ADP is 49.79, so he's just outside of the round four range. You're talking the end of round four, and I think that's where Coleman comes into play.
Yeah, I've got Montgomery a little bit ahead of Tevin Coleman. I go back and forth between those two. I just think Montgomery is going to end up getting more touchdowns.
Yeah, I think Coleman's going to get much more touches. That's the problem.
I do worry a little bit about Coleman's catches. I don't know what the situation is going to be there. Jimmy Garoppolo has not been a guy who has thrown to his running backs, and they have several of them, and they still have Kyle Juszczyk, who Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown to. So I don't know what he will be in the passing game, but I agree with the sentiment that Coleman should be a riser, especially with the McKinnon injury. And I still have faith in the Niners offense. I don't really care about last night, but I understand.
I was just joking. I mean, look, Tevin Coleman's got a great opportunity, especially if there's one less mouth to feed there, if Jared McKinnon doesn't show up anytime soon.
Unless they go with Raheem Mostert, who looked really good. Like, the Broncos should trade for Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, you know, Mostert actually looked good last year, too, in limited action.
Yeah,
okay,
he did.
Let's go real quick.
Get
here.
Rid of Freeman and go with Mostert.
And finish up here. From Jacob, best rookie wide receiver for redraft.
Oh, I don't know if there's a great answer for this one, because there's knocks on almost all of them.
degenerative knee Metcalf. That's what we're calling him now. That's my favorite. Yes.
I'll still take Debo.
I think I've got Harry ranked the highest of all the rookie receivers this year, and it's well into round 11, 12.
Okay. Diggs or Thielen, half PPR?
I'm you have to go with Thielen.
If we get 16 games of Antonio Brown, what number wide receiver will he be?
8.
Sure.
Which ranking should I use in half PPR?
PPR.
And finally, from Pantera Bread, which is better than Panera Bread, what is one stat or theory or principle that each podcast member admittedly applies too much value? A stat or a theory or a principle that you give too much value to? I will say that the fear that I have of going zero RB, I've never really done it, and I definitely want to do it this year. I apply too much value to, like, having rounds 3-4 running backs, so I might stray from that. I'm going to do like 10 leagues this year. I might stray from that in a couple and see how it turns out.
I'll always try and play it safe when it comes to running backs who have a track record of significant injuries, and try and kind of weave my way around them and go with other players, veer toward younger running back.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, guys. Thank you for your tweets. You can follow us at Dave Richard, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, and at Heath Cummings Sr., at Heath Cummings S-R, and also at Yards Per Gretch. That's Ben Gretch, who's you're hearing about once a week on this show. So we're going to recap all the stuff we've talked about over the last few weeks, the position previews, format questions, and your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com coming up right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I like to look back. I like to sum it up. You know, not everybody has time to listen to every episode. So you're about to do a draft, and you're like, hey, I didn't have time to listen to the quarterback preview or the running backs or the wide receivers or the tight ends. Well, what have you been doing, first of all? But maybe you forgot a lot of stuff. So let's just talk about it, guys. Give me your overall summation of the quarterback position and how you're approaching it on draft day.
So the first thing you've got to do is think about how much you believe in Patrick Mahomes having another 5,000-yard, 50-touchdown season. If you think he can do it again, you're going to draft him early. If not, you're going to look for a great value at quarterback because there are so many good ones that you can literally wait till round 7-plus, 9-plus, and still come away with a quarterback that you're very happy to start right away.
Oh, you're done. Who's a guy you find yourself drafting a lot?
Jameis is like free.
Yep, and I'm getting Matt Ryan a bunch. I still think he's going to have another huge year, and I'm getting him below what his ADP is, so very happy with that.
The quarterbacks going in the first five rounds are Mahomes, Rodgers, Watson, Mayfield, and Ryan. And so those are the guys, if you want to take somebody early, that's what you're looking at. And these are the guys that you can get after that. I know Andrew Luck has obviously fallen a lot, understandably why. I think he'll find his way creeping back up if we get past this week and the Colts say he's fine for week one. You'll see his ADP probably skyrocket as well as his rankings. But Adam, I know you take a lot of Jared Goff.
Yep.
Cam Newton is, round seven. And this is, again, factoring in how we draft comparatively to how the public drafts. Carson Wentz is later than those guys. Roethlisberger and Brady, you can, argue, do they deserve to be in the top 12? That's for a different conversation. But you're getting Winston late. You're getting Rivers late. You're getting Lamar Jackson, which is one of my favorite steals at the quarterback position and who will be a top 10 quarterback if he plays 16 games. He's free. Dak Prescott, Jimmy Garoppolo still, I think, is worth if you want to take a flyer on. But there's just so many guys that you can get in later picks, depending, again, how your draft goes. If it's, you want to say quarterbacks go early, so it's after round five. If you say it's, quarterbacks tend to go late, it's, potentially double-digit rounds. There's just so many ways to draft this position that you don't have to fall in love with one of the early picks because you don't need to.
Yep. There are more than 20 good starting quarterbacks, and keep that in mind for 2QB or super flex leagues. And I cannot see Cam Newton not setting a career high in passing yards. His career highs came in his rookie year, 4,051 yards. I think he surpasses that. And I'm excited to draft him and Goff, as Jamie mentioned. Okay, how about running back, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm just for, we're quarterbacks. We're going to break down our super flex draft that we did yesterday on CBS Sports HQ. You're going to come on, Adam, and grade our teams as and yours as well. I took Cam Newton and Andrew Luck in round six and seven.
Yeah, terrific.
I mean, it's just easy, free.
Running backs. How would you sum up running back, Jamie?
I think, if you're picking the first four spots, it's easy to take one of those guys and still take Ezekiel Elliott as of August 20th in the top four spots. Then it just becomes, what your draft slot is and how much you're in love with any of those other guys that are first round caliber. And that includes, as you see, based on ADP, James Conner, Le'Veon Bell, Nick Chubb, and David Johnson, and Joe Mixon as well. I think those are all first round caliber running backs. The guys that are after them are, I think, going to be the swing type of guys that could really be difference makers in your leagues. Todd Gurley, Dalvin Cook, Kerryon Johnson, Leonard Fournette. And then those round three and four guys, I think if you do go receiver with your first two picks, you're still going to be very happy with the group that's there. Devontae Freeman, Marlon Mack, Josh Jacobs, Chris Carson, they're all very good and have the chance to be top 10 caliber running backs. It's the next group, I think, that's very intriguing and seeing how they're going to all perform. Obviously, there's a wild card of Melvin Gordon, but it's the David Montgomery, Mark Ingram, Sony Michel, depending on format, Lindsay, depending on format. Again, I think Coleman's probably ahead of that group. Those are going to be the ones I think that are worth your interest as a third running back in those rounds five through seven that could really, swing your roster in an upswing if they hit as I expect that they will.
And it's not a bad year for zero RB, right? I mean, there's some mid to late round value that we really like.
The problem with zero RB right now, it's the receivers that you're having to take in that round two, three range if you don't love them. So it's taking one of those guys early, which the top seven are still safe right now. Mike Evans, I think, is in the conversation because of what he should be able to do. But if he's hurt, that's going to, sort of scare people off a little bit from taking him in the second round when you may want to take a flyer on still Gurley, still Fournette, Kerryon, Dalvin Cook, all those guys. And then it becomes, do you love the round three receivers, which as we are starting to see, maybe Adam Thielen is pulling away from the pack, but that's the Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, Amari Cooper. Do you want to take the Rams guys in the third round, especially in non-PPR? So it's very interesting to see how that's going to impact going zero RB. unless, of course, you just take a tight end or a quarterback instead of taking a second receiver.
Yeah, right. If you have a late pick, this relates to both running back and wide receiver. If you have a late pick and you're going, you know, Juju and Michael Thomas with your first two picks, and then George Kittle in round three, and then maybe Brandon Cooks is there in round four, or Robert Woods, or if you reach for Chris Godwin, I don't know if that's a huge reach. You know, that's fine. And then hopefully at the end of round five, you know, which based on ADP, it's possible Tevin Coleman could be sitting there as a top 60 pick, but you know, but somewhere between 55 and 60, Lamar Miller, Miles Sanders, Darwin Thompson, you know, take some flyers on some guys and you can make it work. Dave, wide receiver, then let's transition to that. Your thoughts on wide receiver.
Yeah. To me, it goes hand in hand with running back, and I think Jamie laid it out pretty perfectly. I've never been more excited to do zero RB in my life than I am now. And getting that late first round pick and going receiver, receiver, and getting two of those top seven receivers, I think it could end up being a huge advantage to fantasy rosters this year. And it's really just based on all the guys that we've talked about who you can't look at and say, that's a reliable stud. That's somebody who's going to be huge for me week in and week out. And it also has to do with the running backs that are available rounds three through six. I think there's enough there where they're not going to be like Saquon, but 1,000 to 1,200 total yards, seven touchdowns. I think a lot of those guys are good candidates for it. So I'm going to reference this draft I did again last Saturday, 14 teams. I started without getting a running back until round five. I had DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, George Kittle, and Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes in round four. And I'm just so thrilled to have that group as a base for my team, knowing that I've got just, you know, a gallery of good, solid to good running backs to pick from each week and in my lineup. But I've got the wide receiver position covered because I just don't think there are a lot of receivers that have 1,200 yard, eight touchdown potential compared to running back that do.
Yeah, there's a drop off at receiver. Where is it for you guys? Like after Cup, Ridley, Josh Gordon.
Well, there's a drop after Mike Evans.
Okay, sorry. There's a point in receiver once you start to get to the Robbie Anderson, you know, originally Dante Pettis.
Sure.
Now Will Fuller.
I think
it's not as exciting.
I think you could call that drop off maybe at AJ Green. Like that might be the point where you'll say, okay, none of these other receivers wet my whistle. Right. And I know that when AJ Green comes back, he's going to give me production like a number one receiver.
Yeah, I'll take it much further than that. I think there's a lot more guys to like after that group.
But how many of those guys have the big potential that we're talking about?
But it's all relative, though. If there's big potential, they're going to be drafted higher. It's not necessary. You have to keep things in perspective. It's what you're expecting to get from them. Now, is everybody going to be a top 10 receiver if you're drafting them in round seven or round eight? Absolutely not. But if you're taking them to be starters for you on a 4 to 5 week stretch of the season, or maybe more if you hit on the right guy, I think that's the type of group you're looking at. Like, I still love taking Sterling Shepard. I'm going to be thrilled if I end up with, in the right spot, guys like Alshon Jeffrey and Allen Robinson. I mean, Sammy Watkins, if he plays 16 games, big if. But if he does, you're going to be getting great production. Corey Davis, big if. But if it happens, you like DeSean Jackson, Heath likes Tyrell Williams. They're going to be starters for you at some point during the season. But that I think, is the area where you start to get a little bit concerned. If you tell me I'm getting Robbie Anderson and Will Fuller, and obviously you know how I feel about Curtis Samuel, Mike Williams is still going to put up some decent numbers. I mean, those are very good receivers.
They are, but they don't have the upside of Miles Sanders.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that. I think they absolutely do.
I think in PPR, they do.
To get a starting
even in
running
non-PPR.
Back, though. Yeah, I think the decision you have to make is when is the drop off, and I guess it's a little bit later for Jamie.
How many of the receivers that you named, Jamie, are you comfortable having in your starting lineup?
All of them.
Okay. So like that's the case for going heavy on running back, is that if you're comfortable with Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey, Robbie Anderson, did you say Curtis Samuel? Because I know that.
Yeah. I draft him as a starter in several leagues.
Okay. So if you're cool with those receivers, and this is a question that I think people who are going to draft have to ask themselves before they go into the draft. If you like those guys and you see the upside in them, then yeah, you're going to go heavy at other positions.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Let's talk tight end. And what are your thoughts on tight end? Dave, you're very aggressive.
You know
with
me.
With Kelsey.
Yeah. I'm basically trying to get Kelsey or Kittle in every single draft I'm in. I don't want to mess around with the position. I might speculate on one of the guys that I mentioned earlier as a bench stash, but I really want to try and get one of those two, and Ertz is in that mix as well, just so I don't have to stream tight ends, get 8 or 9 points out of my tight end and say, wow, great week. I want a guy that's going to produce like a top 15 receiver. So every chance I get at one of those top three tight ends, I'm taking.
I pass on the top three guys because there's going to be regression for all three of them. To what level, we'll find out, but it's going to be some numbers that get cut back. I mean, they were just historical last year, and it's not going to be replicated. So I'd rather wait based on the value and get one of Ingram, Howard, or Henry if I can. That's obviously not always realistic. If I miss on those three guys, then I'm looking for Delanie Walker, Jordan Reed, or Vance McDonald, because I think those are the next three guys that have the chance to pop this year.
Cool. All right, let's answer some format questions now. Tell me how things change in each format. I got a lot of formats here, so we'll try to keep it moving, I guess. Non-PPR, let's just start with regular old standard scoring, non-PPR. People play that?
I think people play it.
Yeah, they do.
I think receiver loses value significantly because the catches just don't count, but doesn't mean you have to avoid them. I'm still going to adhere to the same strategy that I'm going to do in PPR for the most part. I'm looking for a tight end early and collect a bunch of running backs later on, no matter whether I take zero RB or not.
Okay. Running backs are just mega valuable. Quarterbacks, are they more valuable in non-PPR compared to full PPR?
A little bit. Because just, you know, you look at some of these pass-catching running backs, you know, like if you're debating between Duke Johnson and your starting quarterback, it might be better off taking Duke Johnson.
I gave these stats.
We're in non-PPR.
Yeah, especially if you're just waiting on a quarterback at that point, it's not going to matter.
I gave these stats weeks ago, so I doubt anyone remembers. But I looked at the top 60 flex players, the top 60 running back, wide receivers, tight ends in non, half, and full PPR over the last two seasons. Top 60 flex players in non-PPR in 2017, running backs and wide receivers were tied. And in 2018, running backs outnumbered wide receivers by 3 in the top 60. We move over to half PPR. Over the last 2 years, there were 7 more wide receivers than running backs in the top 60 in 2017 and 5 more in 2018. And then in full PPR, it's a huge difference. Over the last 2 years, there were 9 more wide receivers than running backs in the top 60. So you're looking at 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, and a flex. In a full PPR league, it's probably going to, it doesn't have to be, but it's, you know, it's more likely to be a wide receiver there because they're just better, obviously, than running backs. But running backs are starting to catch more passes, so you have to keep that in mind. We like 50 catch running backs. There were 16 of them last year. There were 14 of them in 2017. And the last thing on this, no matter what the format is, if you get those mega valuable running backs, they are better than the wide receivers, which is why we're always fishing for those elite running backs. All right, half PPR, I don't know if we talk about it enough. How do you make the decision between a guy like Derrick Henry or Sony Michel, we like better, Sony Michel versus James White in all of the formats, you know? And in half PPR, where would you come out on that?
I'm still going to value the pass-catching running backs a little bit more because they're getting points. It'll add up over the balance of the season that the other running backs just aren't going to get. So, you know, in the case of James White versus Sony Michel, we're talking about an extra 40 to 50 points probably for, I don't know if it's that many for James White, but let's call it 30. And I think that that could come out helping him to a degree. And Sony Michel, to make that up, he'd have to score 5 extra touchdowns. He'd have to stay healthy like James White does. I don't know if I can really buy into that. So leaning toward James White makes some sense. We're at now.
All right. How do you guys change your strategy at all in half PPR?
I value the pass catchers just like I would in full PPR.
It just comes down to the player and the tiebreaker. It's the scenario you brought up of those two guys, the Patriots guys. It's a lot different conversation in that format than it is in full PPR because, I mean, look, while James White will benefit with the added bonus for the catches that he'll get compared to Michelle, the touchdowns make up the difference there. So the gap closes for me a lot more. I would lean a little bit more towards Sony Michelle in that format than I would towards towards James White.
All right, so how about full PPR, guys? And how does your strategy change when we start talking about full PPR leagues?
So in this format, I'm far more excited to go zero RB. I know there's a bunch of running backs that catch 40, 50 passes per year, but the wide receivers are out there that can catch 70-plus passes per year. And their value comes a lot closer to the top running back than fantasy. So I'm happy to kind of give up on a lot of those round two type of running backs, round three types of running back, to hog up all those wide receivers. And I kind of can't believe that I'm coming out this way, but this is how the game has changed and how receivers have kind of developed over the past two seasons in the NFL.
Jamie, your thoughts on full PPR? You see that, and we're doing a draft today. What's the scoring format? It's PPR. What goes on in your brain?
I mean, the first thing is depending on where you pick. You know, that's the biggest decision that's going to sway, I think, how you approach the different formats, because it's easier to go receiver with your first couple picks, and then also to, you know, sort of shy away from certain backs in lieu of other positions. So, you know, I think it's the philosophy doesn't really change so much for me, because it really comes down to what spot I'm picking in the draft. But, you know, I think you're going to gravitate a little bit more toward the receivers in the first round than you are some of those running backs, the guys like James Conner and David Johnson, those guys, when you can have somebody like Juju or Michael Thomas, or, you know, the guys that are guaranteed, at least based on track record or what the situation is, to be 100 catch guys.
Yeah, you could really run the risk of downgrading non-pass catching running backs a little bit too much. But having said that, like, you know, Derrick Henry, just, it would have to be such incredible value. Philip Lindsay would scare me a little bit. He'd have to have a really good year, which he definitely still could have. But the guys that aren't involved in the passing game, they just have so much bust potential on a week-to-week basis. There's so many quiet games when they don't score a touchdown or they get taken out of the game plan. Like I was thinking about Marlon Mack. You know, the Colts had a bad game and they're behind by 20. Marlon Mack could have a terrible game. That could happen four times throughout the year or something like that. Something to keep in mind if he's taken off the field for Nyheim Hines. Two quarterback league and super flex. Do you have to draft three quarterbacks? I strongly suggest you do it in a 2QB league. Do you have to do it in a super flex league?
You don't have to, but it's in your best interest to do it. I mean, you know, you're just talking about taking another player at a position that you're going to hope to cycle through guys if you need to. And it's never a bad idea to have multiple players at those spots.
Sure.
So, you know, in our 2QB league, I only have two guys. I regret it. In our super flex leagues, I have three guys and I love it.
I don't think you have to do it, but if you do it, you've got trade capital. So on top of being prepared for the entire season and in case of emergency, you've got backups. Now quarterbacks carry value in these formats, and you can get something in trade forget about the stud quarterbacks. You can get something in trade for Mitchell Trubisky in a two quarterback league that you wouldn't have been able to get in a one quarterback league. So definitely value in getting three quarterbacks. I don't always do it, but when I do, I'm trying to get three of the top, call it 25 quarterback. And when I'm just drafting starters, I'm trying to get one of the top eight. So Mahomes all the way down to Andrew Luck for me. And then another one from 9 through, call it 21. So one of the great quarterbacks, one of the good quarterbacks, and then a third quarterback who doesn't have a bye week that's shared with one of the other two quarterbacks that I draft.
I'll just give you an example. Like in our super flex league, you drafted Jared Goff, Tom Brady, and Matthew Stafford.
Me? Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Adam, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, one very good quarterback. I think Brady still qualifies as a good quarterback, and then Stafford is a little bit of a wild card. We'll see how he performs. But it's not a bad trio of guys to have there. Comparatively, somebody like Andrew Ballmer, who's one of our producers and produces the show, Lamar Jackson, Drew Brees, and Marcus Mariota. Did he need to draft Mariota? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But can it hurt that if he needs him for a couple weeks, especially if Lamar Jackson fails or Drew Brees has a fall off? Not a bad situation. You know, every team is going to be different. You know, so like Dave has in this league, Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers, looks like no third.
That's it, right?
No third quarterback, but his flex options, if he does need to replace Phillip Rivers, are Royce Freeman, DeSean Jackson, Justin Jackson, Damien Harris, or Deshaun Hamilton. So are any of those guys going to score like a quarterback on a week where he has to replace one of those guys? Probably not. So it's in your best interest to have that third quarterback, as bad as he may be. Like Heath has DeSean Watson, Derek Carr, and Andy Dalton. that gives him two options at that super flex spot that he may just decide to rotate through.
Full disclosure, I drafted Royce Freeman before Monday night's game. A little embarrassing to have him on my team, but
I think you're going to find that we, in two quarterback leagues and super flex leagues, we will want other people to sort of reach for quarterback. You should take advantage of the depth of the position and load up. Not to say, like Dave said, he wants one great quarterback, one good quarterback, but don't take like Mahomes and Rodgers. I don't think that's a winning strategy. You should be loading up on.
Well, I'll give you a team.
We do have to. We have about 3 minutes left, Jamie. I'm sorry. So I need to talk about three receiver leagues.
Sure. But somebody took Rodgers and Mayfield and still ended up with Jacobs, Elliott, Mike Evans, and, you know, very good other ancillary pieces.
Yeah, it could happen. It could happen, I guess. It's just not something that we typically do. All right, three receiver leagues. This is we've been doing so many three receiver league mocks. It's like very in vogue right now. I did a Twitter poll. Do you play in a three receiver league? 57% said yes. 43% said no. This does change a lot for me. Three receiver leagues, I find, changes my draft strategy maybe more than anything other than like non-PPR versus PPR. But it does make me really focus on receiver. And I have noticed, gosh, the running back value can be so good in these types of leagues. So, look, I'm not saying I'm passing up Nick Chubb in the first round for like Michael Thomas, because I'd still probably take Chubb. But, you know, I think in the third and fourth round is where I'm more likely to go receiver. I kind of want to get three top 20 receivers or so, if there's also a flex involved, in, you know, when I might want to start four receivers. So I've been finding myself, guys, really affected by three receivers. It changes my strategy a lot.
Agreed. I mean, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, we don't always talk about like what the flex should be, and that's still a starter. It's like you almost wait to fill your flex spot instead of, if you want to take three running backs that you really love in a two receiver league, take three running backs. If you want to take three receivers in a two receiver league to play your flex spot, especially in PPR, do that. It a starter's a starter. So, you know, if you're talking, you know, about zero RB and needing to take three receivers with your first three picks to lock up three starters and then just sort of figure out the running back position, do so.
Sure. But if you're in a three receiver league with a flex, how would you feel if your receivers were like Michael Thomas and then, say, Calvin Ridley and Robbie Anderson?
Fine.
Yeah.
That's a group I'm fine with.
I'd like to
when you replace
better.
Michael Thomas with, you know, a round nine type of, with Sammy Watkins, that's when I would get a little skeeved out.
Okay. I try to get a little bit better than that, but I'm not saying I'm right.
I think you should try and get better than that. You should want to get the best receivers you can if you're starting three of them plus a flex and a full PPR.
Yeah. So probably starting four, because the position dries up, you know, like
yes.
Everybody gets drafted. The waiver wire will be okay, but it won't be what it usually is. We have to go. I apologize. Dave, IDP thoughts real quick.
Other than defensive line and linebackers that pick up a lot of tackles, and make sure your league credits tackles for scoring, because if they don't, it changes the game completely. You wait on IDP players.
And it also depends on how many you start. We're doing an IDP draft tomorrow. It's like a super IDP draft, a lot of defensive players, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to bring on Chris Harris next week to talk about the draft. But, a lot of them are interchangeable, but how many you start really does make a difference. So more IDP at a later date. Thanks so much to Dave and Jamie. If you're wondering, why do we have to go? Well, we share a video studio with other shows. Other podcasts, Cannell and Bell is coming up right after us. So our video crew needs time to adjust the studio for other shows. I'm not trying to hurry these guys, I promise. I'm not trying to shortchange you, but I want to make sure we get a good solid hour of content in. I think we did that today. All right. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow's going to be a really fun show. Will Brinson's coming on. I'm pretty sure we're going to be doing a full PPR mock draft on the air. Yeah, sorry, Dave. Na, 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 na.